Hello, everybody, and welcome. It's Thursday afternoon, 1 p.m. in the UK. Welcome to the first broadcast of 2023 for myself at the Dan Astle Show. Started off this year with a live broadcast. Going to be speaking to the CEO of Eufy, Kai Hattendorf, any second now. Just to say thank you for everyone that's watching live and also on demand. Please feel free to let us know if you're listening, watching, where you're from. Maybe if you have any questions, possibly Kai could answer those too. We're going to be talking about future trends, or should I say trends in 2023 with Kai. So really excited and privileged that Kai's joining. For those that aren't aware, Eufy is the global trade association for the exhibitions industry. It represents 50,000 plus professionals in 80 plus countries. As always, just want to thank my community patrons who are 19 Group, Tarsus Group and TF Connects, and you can see all of my content on danassor.com. So, without further ado, I'm going to add Kai to the stream. How are you doing, Kai?
Happy New Year. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. Happy New Year. I never know when it's acceptable when you pass that date where you don't wish someone Happy New Year. I don't know whether probably the second week in January. But hopefully all your New Year's resolutions are still ringing true. Same for everybody that's watching. So Kai, thank you for giving up your time today. We're going to talk about some trends in the exhibition industry for 2023. And I know lots of people who are going to be watching live and on demand are going to be interested to hear your thoughts. Before we do that, Kai, be great if you can just, and I know this is a large question and probably don't have enough time to cover it, but give us your thoughts on how 2022, if we were having this conversation this time last year about trends for 22 and how that turned out, give us your view on the landscape for 22 for the exhibition industry.
A big question indeed. I think the year ended on a high note with the announcement that China is going to reopen now on January 8th. That gave us a good cliffhanger between 22 and 23. I think a year ago in the Five Trends, we said that this will be the year of recovery for the sector, on track to full recovery by 2024. I think that as we exit 2022, we see that some markets are already really, really close to the pre-pandemic levels, and our research says that the first markets will reach these 2019 levels again in the first half of 2023, with the UK, by the way, being particularly bullish about that. So despite all these black swans we didn't see, nobody saw the invasion into Ukraine coming a year ago, and considered that a real threat. But more of a distinct option of a risk. So besides of these black swans, and despite the inflation and the energy crisis and the cost of living crisis, our sector is really, really strong. We've downsized through the pandemic. We've captured back a lot of ground, and for 2023, I think we will see the completion of this recovery in many parts of the world. So one of my good year resolutions actually is to no longer talk about the industry recovery, but we are now in officially 2023. We're entering the post-recovery time. The journey ahead to evolve the sector, face the challenges ahead, but to grow beyond where we were in 2019, especially if the last reopening chapter or last chapter of the reopening story is going to be written in China over the next couple of weeks and months.
Sure. Thank you. No, it's always good just to take stock and look back. And as you say, there's lots of things that are outside of our control as well. So what we're going to talk about, I know that yourself and Ufi have come up with five trends specifically to, I guess, look out for 2023. I thought obviously lots are going to happen outside of that. And let's start with the first one, which you've labeled as doubling down on customer focus. So sort of bring that to life, please. Let's have a conversation around what you mean by that.
Yeah, right. And happy to. And these five trends, they are not shaped in a small room here in Paris or at
Sure.
any
Well, tell us
office.
about how this
But
shape.
they're the outcome. They're the outcome of literally hundreds of conversations we're having with the global IFI community all around the year. And we always write them up after our annual congress in November, to really, really crystallize what we see and what we hear from all these conversations. So the doubling down on the customer focus is really about us not getting distracted by the topics of the day. I mean, obviously, we are now in a high inflation environment. And we need to respond to that with our business mechanics. And we need to operate in such an environment. I'm happy to see inflation rates going down already again in the US and some European markets. So let's hope that we've seen the worst already. Likewise, with the recession that everybody has been talking about, yes, it's pure mathematics that we will have a recession in major parts of the world. But we've been there in 2007, 2008. We know how to manage that as an industry, and we have the leadership in place to operate us through these. So these are issues that will always be there. So the focus for us as an industry at large is to stay focused really, really on what has to come after the return to the trade shows in the post-pandemic year. And that is to really focus on the needs of the customer, make sure we can connect buyers and sellers in the best possible way, in the way we've done it before the pandemic, and take advantage of what we've learned on the digital space with the year-round engagement, with better communication skills, with better matchmaking tools, and all the digital capacities and all the data that we are aggregating to make sure we can really focus on creating value for our buyers, for our sellers on the show floors, because that's ultimately what will drive the growth of our sector.
Sure. And I guess it's the same as it ever was, right? You know, we want to always focus on making sure we give the customers what they want. So I guess in that regard, things haven't changed, but maybe, you know, the focus, given what happened with regards to the pandemic and the pivot, the necessary pivot to digital for a period of time, what you're saying is we're getting back to the core of what the trade shows are meant to be about.
It is. And when I see how we are scheduling the content for our upcoming events, for instance, we are not focusing on how to operate through inflation. We're not focusing on how to operate through a recession. Yes, we have some sessions on that, but the main point is really on how to evolve the business proposition, how to evolve the way we operate from the customer perspective.
Sure. Thank you. I should say that if you are watching, please let us know where you're watching from. Say hello and maybe give us a question for Kai as well. OK, so that's sort of doubling down on customer focus and ultimately, you know, not letting the pressures, as you've written, pressures of the day distract you from the essential mission. The second trend is around climate. Now, funnily enough, I just read a report today that in the UK, doesn't sound a lot, but the average temperature was 10 degrees in the UK in 2022, which was way above what it had been previously. And you've spoken about before and recently about extreme weather conditions, hitting events, and we have had that obviously across the world. Give me your view around this and the race to zero, and how we're going to need to tangibly demonstrate our plans in that area.
Right, that's simple and complex in itself. Simply said, we will see more of our operations, more of our events being impacted by severe weather conditions. We've seen show cancellations already in the US because of hurricanes. We have typhoon warnings that are leading to close downs of shows in Hong Kong. We've had all this anecdotally in the past, but if you track the number of events affected by severe weather events, it has been going up over the last couple of years. So the climate change is impacting us operationally as we deliver our products, first of all. And that should be a warning enough and cause enough to be active in the way we can. The first trend is all about doubling down on customer focus. The customers expect us and demand us to show that we are part of the solution to the climate crisis and not another part of the problem. And that's why we need to prove in very visible ways, like the ban of single plastics, but also in more holistic ways on the measurements and tracking of the activities we are doing, that we are reducing the carbon footprint of events. That's why we launched the whole Net Zero Carbon Events Initiative across the whole events sector back in 2021 with the support of our friends from the Scottish Events Campus, as they were hosting. The UK was hosting COP26, and I brought the roadmap of that initiative to Sharm el-Sheikh to COP27. So we now have a blueprint how every operator, how every organizer, how every venue, how every supplier, how every association can move along on that journey to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. And I spent some time on the websites of the major organizers over the last couple of days, and it's really encouraging to see how they've all supported that, how they've all come on board of this initiative, and are using it to showcase their initiatives to drive down the CO2 emissions on the greenhouse gas emissions. At UFI, we say that within the next 3 years, this how we act as an industry combined and in a coordinated manner on the climate crisis will shape our license to operate. We have a window to decide how we address this and to be convincing enough in our response so that we can, if you wish, self-regulate us. Otherwise, some bodies will come and do that for us, but they won't have that idea about how we actually operate our business. And that's why this whole initiative and this whole work around the climate challenge is such a key element for the future of our sector.
Sure. Thank you. With regards to travel in general, obviously, I think if I'm not mistaken, within France, you know, certain carriers are going to be, well, certain routes are going to be stopped internally, so internal travel. So I guess,
flight connections within France.
Yes. Yeah, within France. And excuse the pun, sort of the direction of travel, I guess, is that, you know, maybe people are ever more less willing to travel, maybe either across country or internationally to events. Do you see that as an ongoing trend? Do you think then events are going to become more regionalized because of that? What's your view?
When you talk to the travel industry, they say that we are back already at 85 to 90% of business travel, again, compared to pre-pandemic. And that's probably where the new plateau is. So I can't judge on that. I just see that we are back to 85 to 90% without China traveling and add China to that. And the numbers suggest that you go beyond the old 100. Let's see how this plays out. For sure, what we see when we speak to the exhibitors is that many of the big players increasingly don't just have travel budgets when it comes to how much can it cost to go somewhere, but also carbon budgets to fulfill. And that helps them to prioritize which shows they attend or which events they run. So what we've seen, and that's when we talk attendee numbers, is we have all the purchasing power on the show floor, but represented by fewer people from each buying company. So this is probably there to stay. Likewise, the whole trend of regionalization and having regionally leading shows rather than a global leading show, that trend has been around before the pandemic and has probably been fast-tracked also with the carbon budgets going ahead and going forward.
Sure, thank you. Just to name section, we have Juanita from Colombia who said hello.
Good morning, Juanita. Happy New Year.
Daniel Thurlow said thanks for the name check, and
always happy to say SEC. And James is there. Hey, James is there as well.
So that we dealt with the first two. Thank you. So doubling down on customer focus and the impact of the climate crisis. Moving on to the third of the five trends that OFI have identified, and this is one which has been prevalent for years, but ever more so over the last few years, given the amount of data and systems that people have been using. All around, you've labelled it more data, less hype. So we've got more and more data insights and intelligence, and they're driving the development of shows and portfolios. And I know you said, you know, we're done with debating whether or not the future is digital. It is. Talk to me about data and how we can better use it. What's that going to look like?
Well, I mean, you and I are communicating because we're using data and we're using digital. And the whole your whole show is based on the digital capacities to connect and communicate. And it helps you to build an audience. It helps you to build a brand. It helps you to communicate, to keep your community engaged. It's an element of this digital present and future that we live in. I think what we have finally overcome is to put digital on a pedestal and say everything has to be different because it has to be digital. Yeah. Digital is a tool. It's a bunch of tools in our toolbox. It's great new tools. It's shiny objects to play with. But ultimately, it's there to enhance the face-to-face core of our business. And the more data intelligence we apply, the more we learn about our participants at events, the better we can serve them. This is a question of trust as we ask them to share data with us. And we had a long discussion with many of the leading players when we wrote a white paper on data ownership in the exhibition industry. in late in 2021. And I think one of the quotes that phrased it best was to say, the exhibitor, the organizers are custodians of customer data. The data is always owned by you. Your data is owned by you. My data is owned by me. And we choose to share data about our behavior, or personal data, or social data with sources we trust or with partners we trust. So a lot of what we can produce in digitally enhanced events is based on the trust that is being built between the organizer and the customer. So again, the trust is the key to build the data capacities to deliver on digital. So besides that, you always have the hypes.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you about your view of the metaverse and other
The
stuff.
metaverse, right? And
Yeah.
the netherworth and the whatever. I'm known to be outspoken on that. The virtual event is a business case zombie. It's the most undead business case I know. Every time it's been proven not to work, it goes back into its dark, quiet corner,
Yeah.
gather some cobwebs, and then someone wakes it up again and tries again, and out comes the zombie for another roll, for another run. Digital only doesn't fly, and that's the same fate that expects the metaverse as a metaverse in it, as a product in itself.
Sure.
Augmented reality is great. We've been playing with it when it was at Messe Frankfurt in 2010, 2009, and we added layers of information to the event apps that were useful and proof of value. But lots of it is just marketing blunder right now, trying to keep investors giving money or a business play by leading Silicon Valley companies to build a future for themselves. And whether that flies is an open guess. I don't think it will.
Yeah, so we need to wait, as with all of this, to see the use cases and how that manifests itself. But I guess exhibitors as well on their stands can make better use of, VR and metaverse and that
Yeah,
offers.
there's a lot of value. There's a lot of value in augmented reality. There's a lot
Yeah.
of value in virtual reality, if you apply it. I mean, if you can, if you don't need to build your whole machine on a show floor because you can show the inner workings in a VR environment, with the right set of goggles, that's a great additional experience. But it doesn't replace the physical meeting on the show floor again. It's all
Sure.
about applying technology in a smart way. So it's if you wish, elements that are part of what is being built as the metaverse that will prove to be useful and great, yeah, and easy to adapt, and therefore will find their way onto the show floors and into year-round activation.
Absolutely. Just another nod to some people that are watching. It's evening in Macau, so thanks for joining, Joey. And also we have Maddie from UK and Hungary, so we're going worldwide, which is always good to know.
See, that's digital. One person in two
Absolutely.
places.
Okay, so that's three out of five. Doubling down on customer focus, climate crisis, and the impact, more data, staffing. Obviously, during the pandemic, unfortunately, several people left the industry worldwide. Some have come back, some haven't. But definitely, staffing has ramped up. But from conversations I've had, there's lots of gaps in certain areas, specifically in certain disciplines in the trade show and exhibition world. Talk to me about new skills and how we attract new talent from maybe other industries and what we can learn from other industries.
Well, I think the one thing we have learned is that we need to better sell our industry. We are an invisible giant. Everybody knows the show brands, nobody knows the producers, right? But that's like everybody knows the Hollywood movie and nobody knows the director. You know the producer, but you don't know the director. It's a common fate we share with many of the creative industries and service
Sure.
industries. But we can better sell this, and we've tasked last year. We have a program at UFI called the Next Generation Leaders, and we picked a group of six wonderful colleagues from all over the world, and we tasked them to write and present a new staffing narrative. How do we attract new talent with new skill sets into our industry? And they did an amazing job, and they presented on stage a few weeks back in Oman at our global congress, and we are keen to follow up on that because they call us the community builders industry. And they give a lot of insights into how to create that spark that gets people really, really interested. it's a lot is about purpose, finding purpose in what you do, and providing context for people who want to grow as individuals and who want to grow into their careers. And we will work to roll out the staffing narratives with workshops and through the UFI community to see how we can activate that in the best place. One final thought on the whole staffing issue. We always are defensive in saying we are an industry that people fall into, right? Yeah. I mean, I was headhunted into this industry, but I was on trade show floors as a journalist and as an exhibitor, and ultimately I was headhunted into the sector. So I fell into it like so many others. And we think this is a bad thing. I argue exactly the other way around. Yes, we need some qualification. We need to bring people on the next skill level within our industry once we have them with educational programs like from UFI and others. But we have the unique capacity as a sector to draw on talent with very different skill sets from all over other industries and apply their wisdom, their knowledge, their experiences to enrich our industry. And we are one of the very few industries that is built in that way. And we've always found the talent to bring into our industry that we needed to evolve. So we've just hired new colleagues here, and they are all coming with a digital mindset. I can't wait to see where they take us as UFI in the next couple of years.
So absolutely, it's a combination of making sure the industry is attractive to people, understanding why people should join it, looking for talents with different disciplines, specifically digital, and also, I guess, improving our retention strategy. So once people are in, that they actually have a path for growth and a varied varied career. Okay. Hello, Paul from Harrogate. I've been there before. Okay, so finally, we want to talk about accelerating change as sort of the fifth and final trend that UFI have identified. So we obviously had time to experiment, learn from successes and failures, and we've sort of returned to normal. But what else can we be doing to accelerate?
Well, that's the big trap. Obviously, again, last time I say post-pandemic, we've seen this pendulum swing back with that revenge attending and everybody having paid for their booth last year coming to take it and people coming to the events to reconnect. This isn't the new normal yet. We have to fight to retain everyone going forward. So, I steal this quote from Caitlin, who always says, we can't just play our greatest hits. We can't. We need to come up with the new songs, with the new future classics, right? We need to evolve the product. Yeah. We need to push the envelope. We need to force ourselves to do better. We have learned a lot again in the pandemic, and we've gotten better in fast adaptations. Where we used to have silos of event units with organizers, we now have connected teams. So if you try something on one show, you just adapt the learning at the next show, not one cycle on in your same show. We've gotten so much better in the way to learn. And we have to apply these learnings, and we have to get faster in adapting these changes. The industry and the product will probably change twice as fast as it did before the pandemic. But I feel from the conversations I have, not just that I'm losing my voice right now, but I also feel
it's only the beginning of the year as well.
It's only the beginning of the year. I got my voice back. So, but I also feel that we've learned this and we are able to develop much further. And that's actually where the years facing COVID and having to be agile and reinventing what we were doing every day has taught us a lot of skills that we are maybe not even fully aware yet.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Okay, so just to recap, the five trends that UFI are putting forward for 2023 are doubling down on customer focus, the climate crisis and its impact, data and how we can best use that, staffing, and obviously accelerating change, learning from what we've done and moving forwards with that. In terms of UFI in 23, tell us about some of the exciting things that are happening.
Oh, first of all, we're trying to live up to all these five trends. And we'll try to do, we'll do our best again to be there to serve the sector and to support the community. We have a whole range of events coming up. We have back to our full schedule. We're starting with the Global CEO Summit in Lisbon early February, which is, sorry to say, sold out for those who haven't signed up yet. We have the regional conferences all over the world again. I think we'll be in Kuala Lumpur first in early March for APEC. We'll be in Qatar for the Middle East event. We'll be in Costa Rica, San Jose, for the Latin America event, and then in Maastricht for the European one. We'll also launch a new show director summit connected to the Maastricht event in June. So that'll be one to watch if you're a show director at a leading organizer in Europe or elsewhere. Global Congress goes to Vegas this year in November, November 1, 3, 4, and 1, 2, 3, and 4. I see I can't even count to 3 no more this year. November 1, 2, 3, and 4 in Las Vegas. And we are already working with the team there to make this a super memorable event. Watch out, please, for new WIFI research coming out in early February. We do this global barometer twice a year. And I've had a first look at the not yet consolidated data. And there's more than just one market now confident about being beyond the pandemic level in 2019. And we'll have all that consolidated ready to ship in early February. And research, education, everything you expect from WIFI is all on the agenda. If you want to follow it, as we are, this is a LinkedIn Live, right? So if you're on LinkedIn watching this, follow the WIFI channel, if you wouldn't mind. And then you'll be in the loop about what's happening and what's coming up.
Fantastic. Listen, Kai, I appreciate you're a busy man. I know you're off to, I think you said, Saudi Arabia next. So good luck with your travels. Thank you for joining the show. Thank you everyone that's watching, listening on demand. And maybe we'll have you back on towards the end of the year and see how the trend forecasts have developed, how they've panned out.
See if the trend was our friend. Yes.
Thank you so
Happy
much,
to do
Kai.
that, Dan.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Dan.
Take care.
And
Bye-bye. Whoops. So that was Kai Hattendorf, CEO of WIFI. Thanks very much for listening, everybody. Check out wifi.org. And as Kai said, the WIFI LinkedIn channels. My name's Dan Assor. Check danassor.com for all of my content. I've got a bunch of other LinkedIn lives coming up in the next few weeks and obviously some pre-recorded podcasts. Have a great day.